no longer is a person who's got the ability to repay some of their debt going to get off scot-free.
They will find it impossible to rebuild their economic lives, and they will hold us accountable. And they will say, why were you on the side of the financial services industry and all these big banks and all these big lenders?
Opposing views from two senators on sweeping changes to the nation's bankruptcy law. Charles Grassley, Republican of Iowa, followed by Minnesota Democrat Paul Wellstone. The Senate passed the changes Thursday by a vote of 83-15. NPR senior news analyst Daniel Shore joins us. Top of the morning to you, Mr. McShore. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, sure. It's a great day for us Irish. You can call me Danny Boy today.
Okay. It's a great day for the rest of us, too. President Clinton vetoed last year's version of this bankruptcy reform bill, but President Bush seems much more receptive. What accounts for the easy victory in the Senate on what is a fairly controversial bill?
Well, the same thing that accounts for a lot of very easy victories: money, political contributions from credit card companies to Congress and to presidential campaigns. One credit card company, MNBA, a big one, gave $3.5 million during the last campaign, 86% of that to Republicans. It's simply a fact that creditors have better finance lobbies than debtors do. Now, it occurs to me, as I think about all of this, that if former President Clinton is now being investigated for possible quid pro quo money for clemency and pardons, why isn't it a quid pro quo to exchange legislation for contributions?
Another big issue in the Senate will be campaign finance reform. 2 weeks of debate on the McCain-Feingold campaign spending legislation is scheduled to begin this Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And Nebraska Senator Chuck Hagel has offered a rival bill, and President Bush has sent what he calls a statement of principles to lawmakers this week. Can you divine an outcome here?
Divining outcomes is something that you really can't afford to do. But what I can divine, I think, the Democrats will be less enthusiastic about banning soft money than they were when McCain-Feingold didn't have a chance in the world. Turns out the Democrats are the champion soft money raisers. I can also divine that the issue will become rather confused before these 2 weeks are over. So-called friendly amendments, some call them poison pill or killer amendments, the president's statement of principles, the Hagel bill that you mentioned, all are meant to give senators a chance to say that they voted for campaign reform, never mind what kind of campaign reform. If only for limits rather than a ban altogether, what will happen at the end? It looks, I think, as though something will be passed that will be called campaign reform.
It also seemed this week that the administration was slowing down its proposal to aid religious charities that do social work, the so-called faith-based initiative. Mm-hmm. What's going on there?
Well, I think some of the religious groups whom this was all supposed to help had developed some strong reservations about it, about whether federal money and federal controls and federal auditing would dilute the religious message, whether money would go to non-mainstream faiths like Scientologists, Nation of Islam, the Unification Church. There is a bill in the Senate that is still in the works. It will probably, however, alter the provision allowing religious groups to compete for federal money. I don't think they're quite ready for that yet.
And a controversial reversal by the president this week on regulating carbon dioxide emissions from coal-burning power plants. What's the story there?
Well, as with credit cards, you follow the money. Coal and oil fuel about half of the electric power plants in our country, and they are a major source of carbon dioxide. And by the way, in passing, let me mention that OPEC today in Vienna has just decided to cut production 4% or 1 million barrels a day, and that will have some effects here also. But to go back to this, with the conservatives who oppose regulation in principle, with the coal and oil industry trying to save itself, so President Bush, who only last September chided Al Gore for asking for only voluntary curbs on CO2, and he promised to have mandated curbs on CO2, and had a very sudden change of mind. So sudden, it left his EPA administrator, Christy Whitman, twisting out there in the wind, and even Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill, who once compared global warming to nuclear holocaust, had to retreat and say, well, maybe more study is needed.
Well, let's move from Pennsylvania Avenue to Wall Street, where the story is even more dismal.
Not me, boy.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average suffered its worst ever weekly point drop amid growing concerns that the economy and corporate profits might not turn up this year. That's the worst point drop in ever weekly.
Right.
How do you think this is going to affect the president's tax cut legislation, which he's touted as an economic tonic?
Well, exactly. And the administration continues to insist that a tax cut would be a remedy, if not the only remedy, for economic downturn. And now they decided they want to make the cut retroactive so that consumers will get some more money in their pockets earlier, but that will increase the price of the tax cut from $1.6 trillion to maybe $2 trillion or more. It's still a debatable question whether tax reductions can jumpstart the economy, and if they can, whether they would take effect early enough.
Now, the Democrats are actually accusing the president of talking down the economy and contributing to this downturn. Can they get any purchase with that argument, do you think?
Well, I'll tell you, it's really a matter of surmisal whether with a vast economy like this you can talk it up or talk it down. But it is true that trying very hard to get that tax cut, they went extended themselves a little bit. There was Vice President Cheney who said a little while back that we were on the front edge of recession. They stopped using the word recession, but they've used downturn, and President Bush also sounded gloomy about the economy. But listen, hey, on Wednesday, when Dow tumbled 317 points, President Bush said, "I've got great faith in our economy." So maybe he realizes that gloom and doom as a way of getting a tax cut is not such a great idea.
Now, there's another concern that's entering the national consciousness, this one biological. A U.S. ban on meat and livestock imports was expanded this week to include the entire European Union after a case of foot-mouth disease was confirmed Tuesday in France. How nervous should we be?
Just imagine Europe after all these years of integration, now they're going back to having to enforce their borders. Well, and to all these biological concerns, you can now add a suspected outbreak of Legionnaires' disease at the Ford plant in Cleveland. I tell you, John, it is quite amazing how in these days of globalization, scientific breakthroughs, medical breakthroughs, we are somewhere back in the Middle Ages, worried about plague, worried about infectious diseases at airports, foot and mouth, foot and mouth disease has not yet struck the cattle industry here, but here we have security measures at airports in which now, instead of guns, they're much more worried about germs.
In Europe, fighting in the Balkans heated up this week in Macedonia, with ethnic Albanian insurgents expanding their struggle into that nation, one which many considered a model for ethnic coexistence and minority rights. Are we in for another conflict, this one with ethnic Albanians?
It looks that way. The ethnic Albanians now want a piece of Macedonia as they fought for all of Kosovo. No one is ready to go into Macedonia to help, least of all the NATO troops who are staying in their place. United States is apparently preparing to start withdrawing troops from Bosnia, which is fairly quiet now. I do not know what this does to Secretary of State Powell's commitment that American troops will go when NATO is ready to go.
President Bush made it clear that he views North Korea as a threat, and this week Pyongyang took offense, vowing thousandfold revenge on the U.S. should a confrontation take place. Just rhetoric or a serious threat?
Well, rhetoric becomes a threat in a way until it gets to be something worse than that. And once again, Secretary Powell was left with egg on his face. He said he would pick up where President Clinton left off with North Korea. And no, President Bush said, "No, we're going to do that. We don't trust them. This does no good for Kim Dae-jung's attempts at reconciliation." And we now have in North Korea, on top of Kosovo and the rest, yet one more foreign policy problem to worry about.
Thanks very much, Dan.
Sure.
NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore.